Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from Thee. Let Thy Spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. These are words taken from Psalm 51, David's confession, here put to verse and music. Reading from Romans chapter 11, God's holy word, as Paul was given it to the church at Rome at that time, speaking much of his own kinsmen according to the flesh for the future, and still evidently for the future and the present time. Romans chapter 11, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. O, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever. Amen. Let's give thanks for these words, and pray that we will understand them. There's much difference of opinion on what is meant here, what is promised for the future. Some believing it's been fulfilled in the church, and others believing it must yet be fulfilled in Paul's kinsman according to the flesh, the house of Jacob, as we read here. Let's pray that we'll have understanding, and that we will rightly, especially, pray for this to take place. As the psalmist says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And certainly, we need to pray for the peace of the whole country that is in trouble and turmoil, even the present time. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. He who alone is the door. He who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He who alone can say, I am the light of the world, telling us that believing in him, we will not die, but have everlasting life. And we give thanks, Father, for such a Savior, for thy giving him, and thy willingness, Lord Jesus, though thou didst think it not robbery to be equal with the Father, that thou didst humble thyself to the death of the cross, because going to the cross was given a name which is above every name. We pray that we might today rightly bow not only the knee but the heart to thee, and that the church might be submissive to thee especially, again become a salt and a light, and not a salt that hath lost its savor. We need it so much in our homes, in our nation, and we pray that thou would give the awakening and reviving to the church, that it might in turn bring different things in the home, and will not take the nation down and the next generation down further than what it is. We pray for thy blessing on thy word wherever it is heard. We pray that it may also be sent to those who have not yet heard its message. We think of those that it was first given to, that they will only receive that which was given to them in their time with the prophets, and not receive that which is given here by Paul. We pray that thou would open their heart to that they might receive the gospel, they might receive the epistles. We pray also for the temporal blessings needed. Pray for those in hunger, homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, especially those in the terribleness of the war-torn lands of the present time. We pray for those, Father, in broken homes, husbands and wives and children, and especially the children in the broken homes. We pray that this might be recognized, that there will be a return to thee, and that the homes will not continue to be more troubled, but lessen, as it is often spoken of, the mental health that is taking place and the concern about it. We pray that we might see that it is a spiritual problem, and that if we would but return to thee, that there would be love between husband and wife, parents and children, especially in the church, and that the church might again be made one. We pray for those who need the healing hand in the body, each one of them, both with serious illness and those with minor problems, that they will have faith to look to thee and be given health if it could be thy will. We think of the blessing given when thou wast here on earth, Lord Jesus, and we think of the blessing at times when there was spiritual blessing, there was also physical blessing, and now there is much that is concern of the problems in the flesh, and we pray for healing for them, all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look again at this, we've been going through here very slowly, we need to see what is said, in that we might believe every word, because every word is from God. All of it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Here we have the doctrine both of Christ and of the people that will be blessed through him, as we read in verse 26. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That was promised all through Scripture, the coming of the deliverer. That deliverer is Christ, promised the first time to Adam, the seed of the woman, promised to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was given to Abraham twice, once recorded in Genesis 12, and once in Genesis 22. Also given to Isaac later, Genesis 26, and Jacob, Genesis 28. So that same promise of Christ coming, Abraham's seed, that would bless all families, promised those four times almost in the exact words. Later spoken of as well, after Christ did come, and Christ spoke to Nicodemus, and said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Many people might say, oh, we know that verse so well. Do we know it well in its meaning? Do we know that without Christ, each one of us is a perishing sinner and will perish eternally in hell if we don't have him for our Savior? That's the message, and that's part of the whole of the message. And we need to see that all through Scripture that has been spoken of. When Paul gives it here in this 26th verse of Romans 11, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, quoting from Isaiah, the 59th chapter, the 20th verse, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Isaiah wrote it first, as well as many others. One of the very sad prophecies of that is when Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And every time he spoke of Israel, he gave blessing. We have a terribly, terribly sad prophecy of Christ when Balaam said, recorded in Numbers chapter 24, in the 17th verse, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab. What a prophecy, so true and so sad. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. On the day of judgment, Balaam will see him, and not nigh, but be sent away from him. And so we can know about him, but not know him as Lord and Savior. Not only Abraham was given those words that we said twice and repeated to Isaac and Jacob, but also Peter speaks of that same blessing God gave Abraham. He said to those in his audience, as recorded in Acts chapter 3, verse 25, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away from you every one from his iniquities. Often when the covenants are spoken of, this covenant and this word of the covenant is not mentioned. I read again and again where we read of what is called the covenant of grace or covenant promises, but this one is very seldom mentioned. It is mentioned by a few, but not many. It is a covenant of grace. And probably the reason it's not mentioned is that in those places in Genesis, Genesis 12, 22, 26, 28, the word covenant is not mentioned. And when we come to the covenant of circumcision, that word is mentioned many times in Genesis 17. I believe 13 times the word covenant is used, but not in regard to this covenant, which Peter says, the covenant made with Abraham. And then he quotes it exactly as God gave it to Abraham at that time. Paul also refers to that covenant. Paul's words in Galatians, when he describes it this way, Galatians chapter 3, he says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And then the summary of it, also called a covenant in a wonderful way. So wonderful, if it's for you and me. Listen to it, 17th verse of Galatians 3. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ the law which is 430 years after cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. What he's really saying there, what God promised to Abraham in the beginning of his call, and what God said later to the descendants of Abraham, and about giving them the law, he said, the law cannot disannul it. We know that in regard to the law, the wages of sin is death. But if we have that promise in Christ, the seed of Abraham, the law cannot touch us. And what a blessing, because by the law, every one of us is guilty. And as Paul also said to these Galatians, as many as are the work of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That means that you and I are cursed. I know I am by the law. And I know that you are. I don't know you, but I know that everyone that lives is under the curse of the law in regard to our own relationship to the law. Then we read also, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of the world, came down here and was refused. But God in His love, God's determinate counsel, made Him to be the curse for us, for you and me, our curse being paid for by Him. And listen again how that's summed up in the 17th verse. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law that brings the curse, cannot thus annul, cannot take away the blessing of Christ. If we're washed in His blood, we're safe. But we must be washed in the blood. We must have what David asked for, that 51st Psalm, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And that's what Paul is talking about here when he says, His kinsmen, according to the flesh, will be saved as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That must be made known, and sadly, it has to be repeated, because as God said, and Job said in the book of Job, God speaks once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth it not. We are not seeing people turn to God through Christ. We are seeing the leaving of the church. We are seeing the breaking of the home. We are seeing the murder of the unborn. We are seeing many other sins take place, much of what is called mental health, simply because we don't have peace with God, we don't have peace with ourselves, we don't have peace with our neighbor, and the troubled state is called mental health. Our sheriff department is very busy with it, 40% of the time spent with what is called mental health, building separate buildings, having separate committees to deal with it, dealing with that problem, because when we don't have peace with God, Isaiah says we're like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire. And the world calls that mental health, but God calls it what we just said. They are like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire. That's our life without Christ. We need the Deliverer. Paul goes on to say, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. So the covenant was made with Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Peter refers to it as the covenant, and Paul refers to it as the covenant of God in Christ. But it must also be applied. Christ became a curse for us 2,000 years ago. Now we need it applied. We need it applied for both Jew and Gentile. And that's what he says. This is my covenant, shall I take away their sins. For them especially, we see the promise given of the application by Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. We read there in verse 31, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the land of Egypt, which by covenant they break. When God gave the law on Mount Sinai, He called that the covenant, which they break that, as we said, and cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things of the book of the law. So these people were cursed, but God has planned a blessing for them. And He said a new covenant He would make with them, not according to the covenant that was passed when they came out of Egypt. They break that covenant. They were disobedient, even though God says, I was a husbandman unto them, so close and yet so far. Then verse 33, But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They are having there what Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He also said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And that's true for every one of us. Some people who would like to say that what Jeremiah is saying here has been fulfilled in the church, but it has not. And I mentioned that before. When we see the result of it in the 34th verse, they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is going to be the result of that covenant being applied. And I want to emphasize that, being applied. This is not the beginning of the covenant. When we read a new covenant, it doesn't mean that this was not there before. Abel was a partaker of it. Abraham was a partaker of it. And others were partakers of it. David was long before this was written by Jeremiah, and long before it will be fulfilled, which I believe is yet in the future for these two nations that are written, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Two different groups are described here. They will be made one, and they have been made one now when they're back in the land, but they do not yet have God's law written on their heart. They do not yet know the forgiveness of sins through Christ. If anybody wants to say that this is the church, can we say that this has been fulfilled in the church at any time? You can go back 500 years plus. You can go back to the time of Luther, Calvin, and Zwingli. Were they one? Not at all. Did they want to teach each other? Very much. And if they wouldn't listen to each other, they'd walk away and they wouldn't even shake hands. As they would say of each other, they're worse than the Catholic Church, of which they just had come out of. And even the Catholics said, they're so divided, they'll destroy each other by their divisions. And that has happened. Along with it, there were those who believed God and His Holy Word, taught believer baptism for believers, and many of them were killed by other ones that were called Protestants. Thousands were killed. They were beheaded, they were drowned, they were burnt, they were put in prison, not only at the time of the Reformation, even lasted into our country. Not the same degree. There were those put in prison. There were those beaten. There were those fined by not agreeing with what God commanded. Believe and be baptized. And that is plainly in God's word. Very plain. The other ways are not plain in God's word. Only believer baptism. Some want to call it adult baptism. But it is better described as believer baptism. And they're described also as adults. When Philip went to Samaria, we read they were baptized, both men and women, adults, because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, because they had what was here. There was the beginning of that to the Gentiles, later, more and more, and that's what Paul is here talking about. When it was cut off from his kinsman according to the flesh, then it was given to the Gentiles. We read that a little further. For as in times past you have not believed God, and now obtain mercy through their unbelief, referring to the time the Gentiles did not know the gospel, and when it was cut off, when Israel refused it, then Paul says, lo, we go to the Gentiles. Then we have that what is stated here. But first of all, we have to see the people that Paul is talking about and what else he will do. Not only the deliverer will come, it will be applied. And applied in verse 27, this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. That is going to happen. We have to know both. They will be one, as Jeremiah said, that they will not teach every man his brother. And that is happening today. I remember picking up a book once, and a letter was in there written to the one who wrote the book, and says, you say we are like this church, but we're not. They believe this, and we believe that. And then in the same book, the author of the book wrote about another church that believed differently. I've often said, if we all believed in the covenant of grace rightly, it's a term that's not in Scripture, but it describes what God does in applying grace of salvation, planning it in eternity, Christ paying for it, then having it applied, which is really the covenant of grace in all of its aspects. People say, you believe it differently than I. So they are teaching one another. They are not in the way that Jeremiah says of they being one, not teaching each other. We haven't arrived there. When God pours out the Spirit, as Paul writes of it here, that's going to come, and Jeremiah writes of it, the new covenant, then it will be in such measure that they will all be taught together. That might even be the first time that it's ever really happened. The next time that's probably the closest is on the day of Pentecost, when they're in one place in one accord in prayer and supplication, just before the Spirit was poured out. Afterwards, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, but we soon see division taking place in different ways. Churches that were established were sometimes called babes and carnal because they had divisions. So it was not really fulfilled in the Gentile church at that time. It was probably closer than we are today, but not fulfilled as Jeremiah says they will be one. They will not teach every man his brother. If that comes on that people, then it'll also be fulfilled what Christ said, praying four times the night before he died, John chapter 17, that they will be one. The reason that the world will know that thou hast sent me. And what an amazing thing it will be. If that will come, that new covenant on the house of Israel and the house of Judah, that they will mourn after Christ, that they will be made one, and the rest of the Gentile world will see through them that Christ has come. Yes, we say he's coming right now. The Jews say, no, he has not come. We are moving, sadly, away from Christ in the Gentile world. We're not seeing God as creator. We're not seeing him as the one that established the homes in the way he did. What he has joined together, let not man put asunder. So we're not really believing in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ at all as we should. And we're in danger of having another Jesus when we don't believe in the Lord Jesus. God spoke through him by whom he made the worlds. And that's the Jesus of the Bible, by whom he made the worlds. And if you don't believe that, that he did it, you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, as Paul speaks of another Jesus. And we have to rightly realize the danger that we're in. We need to pray for this to take place. And he says, in times past you have not believed in God, yet now have obtained mercy, speaking to the Gentiles, then of his fellow man. Even so have these also not believed, that through your mercy they also may receive mercy. And how we should pray for that mercy on that people who do not recognize that the Messiah has yet come. They're living in the land promised to Abraham, but they have not yet mourned after Christ as he said it would happen. Said it in the first person by Zechariah. I will pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall mourn after me whom they have pierced. And my question to you is, have you mourned after Christ? Have you received him? Only in him is there life and life more abundant. Listen to the words of David again. What will happen if you have repentance as he had it? Sinners then shall learn from me and return, O God, to thee. Savior, all my guilt remove, and my tongue shall sing thy love. Touch my silent lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall praise the Lord.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.